All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Rinkwide Vancouver.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Over. After a couple of losses and the market wondering where Elias Pettersson was, EP40 showed up in a big way, leading the Vancouver Canucks to a 3-2 victory over the Buffalo Sabres. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. We're coming to you from our Rinkwide studio in the Wall Center Hotel, and center really says it all. The Wall Center in the middle of the downtown core, close to just about everything from restaurants to shopping to sports venues and English Bay. Jeff Patterson joined on this episode by Irfan Gafar. It's been a couple of games since we've had Irf in here, and Irf, the Canucks don't do things particularly easy on themselves, although in the end, a win is a win. It's one that they needed. The Oilers had won earlier in the night, the Los Angeles Kings as well, but the Canucks are focusing on themselves, and they're the ones that have to help themselves on the scoreboard, and they did that led by a vintage performance from Elias Pettersson.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Jeff, and you said they needed it. And yes, they did after everything that's kind of happened with this team, and especially in the later stages of games. We will dive into it fully against the Buffalo Sabres, but, you know, third periods haven't been friendly to the Vancouver Canucks, and this one kind of looked a little, little trending in that direction. But their best players were, if you look at it out of the stats, show it, were their best players when they needed to be, and that's why the Canucks were victorious against the Sabres at home.
Rick Tocchet came into the game with a bunch of new looks in his line combinations. Pettersson between Connor Garland and Nils Höglander, and you wondered, the Mighty Mites there on the wing, would they be able to do what the coach wanted, and that was bring energy, provide that spark, get in, be relentless on the forecheck? Well, wouldn't you know it, it's Garland that opens the scoring just 4 minutes and 11 seconds in. Pettersson gets an assist there, Quinn Hughes as well, and another goal in the first 5 minutes of a hockey game. The Canucks have opened the scoring in five straight now, but all four on the homestand have come in the first 5 minutes of hockey games. This was a big part of the recipe early in the season, getting a jump on an opponent and sort of setting the tone for the hockey game. Now, they didn't add to it until the middle stages of the second, but this was a Buffalo team that came off a good win in Seattle 24 hours earlier, but the Canucks knew that, and I think they wanted to get the jump on the Sabres, and they did just that, shooting them 15-7 in that opening period.
83 first period goals for the Vancouver Canucks on the season. They're dominant, and especially on home ice. They come out flying on home ice all the time. I know everyone's going to say it's the black skate jerseys and keep them and whatever, but they're good, and it's just the consistency, Jeff, and it's one of those things that we get into all the time about where it is for 60 minutes. It's cliche, and I know the coach talks about it all the time, but that was one of the things that was good for the Vancouver Canucks, to being able to get on the board early in hockey games and, you know, put Buffalo, who played the night before, on their heels early. But, you know, as the game went on, you know, the Canucks had their foot on the throat, but they weren't able to actually go in for the kill until it was late.
Don Granato challenges the Garland goal for goaltender interference. It was a jam play, but the puck is there, and it does squirt across the line. Goal stood. And so the Vancouver Canucks not only opened the scoring, but then they went to work in a power play. And look, power play's taken a lot of heat here since the All-Star break, and rightly so. It came into the night 8 for 52, around 15%. And that's basically 2 months of hockey now that the power play has been limping along at 15%. And I firmly believe that it's a better group than that. They scored the 2-0 goal on the man advantage, but Irv, I thought they kind of showed something on that first power play. PP1 stayed out the entire time. And man, did they zip it around. Rick Tocchet, after the morning skate earlier today, said he thought his team was generating enough looks on the power play, even the other night, just the one power play against the Washington Capitals. Felt they had their looks, and it was just on the individuals to bear down, and somebody put a puck in the net. Probably came out of that first power play thinking the same thing. Like, my goodness, what can you do? Suter in the bumper position had a great look. Petey whiffed on a one-timer off his right side. JT Miller was able to get the puck to the front of the net a couple of times. They came close, but nobody wants to hear about close. But I still think that that provided them a little boost of confidence that they would lean on later in the hockey game.
Well, and why did they come close, Jeff? Because they were getting to the net. They were putting the pucks on that. They weren't doing the things that they did on the perimeter. And that's why made all of us that watched this team, you know, say, what are they doing with this power play? But it was one of those things. You get pucks to the net and good things happen. You know, JT Miller had a bunch of chances in this hockey game. Obviously, he finished with 6 shots on net. So you know that he was all over the place. But yeah, I mean, retooling the power play, just getting guys moving. I think that that was one of the things. You know, we can talk so much about the personnel and who needs to be where, but the biggest thing was it was getting guys moving and just getting that puck on net.
And I think a lot of it is moving JT Miller back to that left side. And I know that the coach objected and he explained his reasons for it a couple of weeks back when they were in the midst of that 4-game losing streak. And it was suggested that maybe you ought to try Miller back on the left side. And Rick Tocchet said, there are reasons for it. But it kind of feels like, you know, it had reached that point that what worked for you earlier in the season, well, Miller operating off the left half wall, the quarterback of the power play, even if Quinn Hughes is out there, the puck still seems to run through JT Miller. And on that left side, he just looks comfortable. He's got options, whether it's to the interior, whether it's back to Hughes, trying the cross seam over to Patterson, trying to slip it down low to Brock Besser. All those were available to JT Miller. Look, the Canucks got 10 shots on goal in 8 minutes of power play time, actually less than 8 minutes, because they converted on one of them. They go 1-for-4 with the man advantage. The one coming 6 minutes to go in the second period, and it was Elias Pettersson. His backhand, the rebound was there. Petey made no mistake and was kind of getting started on the night. Well, I guess he'd already started with an assist on the Garland goal, but first of two, the other one coming into an empty net. People wanted this. People have been waiting for this. You knew it's there. And look, maybe it was nothing. Maybe it was something. But the play Pettersson makes in the first period where he brings the puck through the neutral zone, puck through his skates. There was an audible sort of gasp in the building as, you know, Petey doing his deeks. And I think that's what people wanted to see, or was, you know, this idea that, like, the confidence that he could beat a guy one-on-one with those types of moves that have been missing. And, yeah, he's been flat for the last little while. He has. But the pop was back tonight. The proof is in the pudding. In on all three of the goals, seals the deal into the empty net. But there was some of that Petey magic that we haven't seen a lot of for the last couple of weeks.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that move that he made. I watched the game on TV, and then on the broadcast, they went to the bench and showed him, and he was laughing.
Yeah.
You know, after he made that move, when he flew through the neutral zone, puck kind of around his back and through his leg kind of thing. So you could tell he was feeling it, and he was feeling it early. And I think that that's one of the things, if you're a fan of this team, and obviously if you're a member of the coaching staff, is you're encouraged by it. Because, you know, Petey smiling on the bench, getting involved, making those plays. And you mentioned, you know, doing the deeks and doing everything. But it was just him having that confidence. And I'm not saying that he lost it or anything like that, but it just didn't look like it was there, or it was lacking. But on a night where you're able to, I don't care who the opponent is, you get 3 points in any National Hockey League game, it's a pretty good night. If it's the Buffalo Sabres, or it's the Edmonton Oilers, or if it's the Vegas Golden Knights. But for Elias Pettersson to be involved in all three goals, to be able to be making the puck moves that he was doing, and to be able to put the team on his back and say, yes, we won this game, but I was a big reason for it.
Well, we know he doesn't like the noise in the marketplace. The easiest way for him to sort of bring the level down is to have more nights like this. So he does put that storyline to bed. Now, He's going to have to back it up here. There's 13 games to go in the regular season. The Canucks improved to 43-18-8, so they're up to 94 points. And as we said, they held serve with the Edmonton Oilers, who were winners in overtime against the Montreal Canadiens. The Habs will be here on Thursday. The LA Kings won as well. And for a brief while there, both Colorado and Winnipeg had won earlier and had moved in front of the Canucks, but the Canucks will rest at the end of this night back on top of the Western Conference. It's a perilous hold. And ultimately, I don't know that finishing first in the West is that big a deal. It would mean home ice through the Western Conference Final. But like for that to matter, they have to get to the Western Conference Final. And if they do, this season is a massive success. I do think, and I feel pretty strongly, that finishing first in the division, just because they've had this massive lead all season long, like it would be a shame. But also, yeah, I think it would sting if the Oilers were to reel the Canucks in. So Edmonton's game started an hour earlier, finished an hour earlier. The Canucks knew that Edmonton had picked up two more points. But again, the Canucks hold on to that eight-point lead. Yes, Edmonton's got three games in hand, and there's still one head-to-head. So this thing's not settled. But the best way that the Canucks can go about this is just continue to take care of business. This feels like a big week for them. They kind of scuffled in that opening week of the homestand with one win in three games, 3 points from those three games. But they're now 2-1-1 on the homestand. They've got a Montreal team that's going to come in and work hard, but that's another beatable opponent. And then the Calgary Flames come in on Saturday. And if the Vancouver Canucks can find a way to grind out victories in each of those next two, you know, Edmonton got to go back east. They go to Toronto. They stop in Winnipeg on their way back. So a couple of tough games ahead, at least on paper, for the Edmonton Oilers. And we'll see how things shake down for the Canucks. It's all about focusing on themselves. And if they can have their stars leading the charge here, as they did in this hockey game, that's going to serve them well. Elias Pettersson with 2 goals and an assist. So in on all 3 goals, his first goal of the night, his 32nd of the season, also his 12th power play goal. And this is a guy that scored 6 power play goals all last season, none under Bruce Boudreau. They all came after the coaching change, and that didn't make much sense. I mean, yeah, he's out there as part of power play one. Yeah, maybe he used a little too much as a decoy. Whatever the case, he's doubled his power play output with 13 games still remaining. Twice had been a 10 power play goal guy. This is a career high. Everyone that he adds will just continue to boost his career best when it comes to goals with the man advantage. He also played 22 minutes and 8 seconds, which is his second highest ice time since the All-Star break. So get him involved, play him. There was a lot of special teams, 4 power plays each way, and he sees special teams duty on both sides. So maybe not a surprise that the ice time crept up there a little bit, plus a little scare there.
Oh, yeah.
Early in the second period, JT Miller, the Canucks started the second on the power play. Miller blocked a Tage Thompson shot in the first period, late in the first, about 3 minutes to go, and you could tell it stung. I mean, Tage Thompson can shoot the puck. Yeah. Miller finished the period, came out for the power play to start the second, had 2 second period shifts, and then he left for about 7 minutes, and I think some people, you know, sort of heart in their throat a little bit. I mean, just the idea this late in the season, already Thatcher Demko down. If JT Miller was to go out, again, you see Erf. You know, they've been so fortunate when it comes to injuries to their star players. You take one top-line guy out of this Vancouver lineup, and Teddy Bluger is playing up, looking for options to try to replace JT Miller. So fortunately, he returned just in time, gets the assist on the Pettersson goal on the power play to make it 2-0. But yeah, a little dicey there without JT Miller for a few minutes.
I joked. I mean, he went off for 7 minutes and saw what life would have been like. And he said, get me back out there. I don't care what it's going to take. But yeah, it's going to sting. I mean, obviously, you know, it's one of those things. You block a Tage Thompson shot, I bet you ask any defenseman or someone that's blocked one of those, it's going to hurt for a while. But I mean, more on that, Jeff, I think that, you know, you mentioned it, like, you know, once one of the top guys goes out, it was Bluger that got elevated and it wasn't Elias Lindholm. Mm-hmm. I was shocked at that, to be completely honest, unless Rick Tocchet thought that line with Mikheyev and Lafferty were playing well. But he's an offensive guy. He's a top 6 forward, or he should be, and you still kept him down there for that short period of time. Maybe that's just the way the game was going. Maybe that's the way that he wanted to coach things, but it was just really weird to see that Bluger was the guy that got elevated there.
Well, let's take a second and just look at the night for that third line, if you will. And again, new looks to the line combinations. Suter with Miller and Besser. We've seen that a fair bit, certainly since Christmas time. But Lindholm between Mikheyev on the one side, Lafferty on the other. And their night started early. Like, we talked about that power play that was buzzing around right after the power play. Lafferty from Lindholm great look, like a really good look there. And I thought, okay, that's promising. And then as the night went along, Lindholm from Lafferty in the second period off the rush, there was a good scoring chance there. Ilya Mikheyev, now this was shorthanded, so it wasn't with the line. But I remarked midway through the game, like I thought Mikheyev looked so much more invested, looked confident with the puck at times. You have to remember, in a 1-0 game, he's sprung for the breakaway by Elias Pettersson, doesn't score, but draws the penalty that leads to the 2-0 power play goal. So, you know, there's not a bottom line necessarily to Mikheyev's night or even that third line, but I thought that they did do some good things. But I'm glad you brought that up because I thought that was curious too, that you've got this guy, you make the trade, you bring him in, he's kind of spinning his wheels offensively. Here's an opportunity without JT Miller. And you're right, they kind of worked around Elias Lindholm for whatever reason. Another night, a big night for him in the faceoff circle. You can count on him there. Wins 9 of his 11 draws, so 82%. It's hard to do a whole lot better than that, but, and there is a but here.
Yep.
The first of the two Rasmus Dahlin goals. Lindholm's the first guy that gets walked. Filip Hronek didn't look very good defensively either there. And, you know, you mentioned this a few moments ago. That third period started to look all too familiar. Saw it against Colorado, obviously, where the lead got away. Washington just protected its lead in the third period, didn't add to it, but... You know, was this going to be another sign of, you know, the first look of adversity for the Vancouver Canucks, and were they going to wilt? And ultimately they didn't, and they get it across the finish line. The late goal by Dahlin makes it closer than it probably ought to have been, but whatever the case, it goes into the books as a 3-2 victory for the Vancouver Canucks, who are 5-1-1 in their last seven, despite the angst in the market over the last couple of games. They snap a 2-game losing streak, and again, the impressive home ice record, the last couple of games notwithstanding, but 22-7-4 in front of the paying folks at Rogers Arena.
I know they got it done, and the game ended up winning, but obviously the third period, and I know every team in the National Hockey League is a very good team. There's very good players. It's the Buffalo Sabres. Like, you should be able to close that game out and be the team that you're supposed to be and beat these teams and not have those dicey moments. So you had it against the Colorado Avalanche. How much does it, I know they got it done and we're talking about the win here, but how much does that kind of worry you where it did look a little dicey there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of been who the Canucks are really since Christmas time, or maybe that Eastern trip where they rolled through New York and New Jersey, although the Pittsburgh game was overtime. That was a tight game. And Rick Tocchet's talked about this, that like you're not going to win a lot of 8-1 and 10-1 games like they did in the early going. And maybe that was sort of artificial hope in some ways that the Canucks were just going to, you know, be this machine that beat up on opponents. Games get tighter in the second half. The power play obviously has struggled, and that's one of the reasons that their goal scoring is down. But I do think there is some value in playing these tight games and trying to get it right. They didn't against Colorado. They didn't against Washington. But out on that road trip, you know, a bit of a sluggish start in Los Angeles. But once they kind of figured out the Kings' defensive structure, they were the better team. You know, needed a delayed penalty in overtime to win. But full value for the way they beat the Vegas Golden Knights. And then obviously they came home and took it to the Winnipeg Jets. So, you know, these are the kinds of games that they're going to see more of over the final 13 and then, of course, into the playoffs as well. So I hear you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you'd like the Canucks to extend leads, to blow a team that had played the night before. And this was 3-4 for the Sabres, who played in Detroit on Saturday. So just geographically, a lot of travel for them. You know, they didn't muster a lot. The shots were 25-10 through 40 minutes of play, and yet the Canucks only had a 2-0 lead, and then it became a one-goal game in that third period. Final shots on the night, 34-17. So hands down, the Vancouver Canucks were the better team. At evens, or the high dangers, according to the Natural Stat Trick, 16-3 in favor of the Vancouver Canucks, and it kind of felt that way.
Yeah.
So give Devin Levi credit. I mean, this guy hadn't played an NHL game since January 24th. And gets thrown in against one of the higher scoring teams in the NHL, even though we just talked that, you know, they're not the first half Vancouver Canucks, but still, I mean, that's a tough assignment, getting thrown to the Canucks on the back end of back-to-back 3-4 when you haven't seen NHL shooters in almost 2 months. And he was good. I mean, he was really good. He gave the Sabres a chance to win this hockey game.
No, absolutely. And I think, to more my point, the empty net game-winning goal probably shouldn't be your kill shot. That's kind of where I was getting at for the third period. If you have a game, you should be able to take it over. Good thing for the Canucks. Fewest shots allowed this season, 17. So I think that that's a stat as well where, yeah, again, it's the Buffalo Sabres, but the Canucks were good defensively. They were good in front of DeSmith. What he saw, those 17 shots, he was able to stop them. And I think going forward there, obviously that gives DeSmith some confidence moving forward here for the rest of the week.
Yeah, he didn't have to do an awful lot just on the volume of shots, but Buffalo had four power plays, including, you know, Carson Soucy takes a high sticking penalty 58 seconds into the game. We're talking about the quick start, but here's Buffalo coming off a really good win in Seattle last night, trying to pick up where they left off, and all of a sudden Soucy takes a penalty in the first minute of play. Credit to the Canucks penalty killers, and we haven't said that all that often of late. Colorado torched them, obviously, for a couple, including the winner in overtime, but the penalty killers were good. The Buffalo Sabres had 8 minutes of power play time. We mentioned the Canucks had 10 power play shots. Buffalo only had three, and in the third period, when they got their power play opportunity, didn't get a shot on goal, like in crunch time. So, you know, hats off to the guys that do the penalty killing, and Casey DeSmith is the last line of defense. His first win of the homestand, obviously he took over from Thatcher Demko midway through the game against Winnipeg. They shared the shutout, but Demko was the goaltender of note there. So, you know, I think an important game for Casey DeSmith too, that, you know, he's got this run of play. Demko's not going to be back for a little while still. You know, if this game got away from the Vancouver Canucks, and it would have depended, I think, on how DeSmith played, but I wondered if it had gone sideways for the Canucks and DeSmith, like, would there have been a decision for the Montreal game on Thursday?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they have to worry about that. I think winning, you're going to stay in if you're Casey DeSmith here, and especially with days off between these games, and Montreal doesn't generate an awful lot these days. They work hard, but I would expect that Casey DeSmith will be the guy between the pipes on Thursday when the Vancouver Canucks host the Montreal Canadiens. But he did make some saves. In the third period, there was a Lindholm turnover to the wrong guy, Tage Thompson, and Thompson got a good look there, and then Thompson walked Carson Soucy off the rush. I'm not even sure it materialized in a shot on goal, but it looked like a dangerous chance was about to develop. Whatever the case, Canucks defended, and the puck stayed out of the net there. So Tage Thompson with a couple of opportunities, but, you know, end of the night, look who did the scoring. Rasmus Dahlin, who leads the Buffalo Sabres in points, adds to his total. He has both of their goals. Alex Tuck gets a second assist on the first one, but, you know, nothing from Tage Thompson ultimately on the score sheet. Jeff Skinner, who had the hat trick last night in Seattle, he was helped. They've got some weapons, and obviously when they add Bowen Byram, Byram had a strong start to the game, certainly a stronger start than a finish for him, but noticed him in the first period doing what he used to do for the Vancouver Giants, just wheeling all over the ice, and, you know, he freestyles, but, you know, so does Quinn Hughes. I mean, we're starting to see more and more of those types of defensemen in the National Hockey League, and the Sabres have, they got a bunch of them. Look, the Sabres are a strange bunch because I feel like they've got more talent. They should be a better team than they are. They've found goaltending. You know, Ukko-Pekka Lekkonen got the night off, but guy's been remarkably busy and has just delivered for the Sabres really since Christmas. And now you got Devon Levi coming in and giving them a quality start as well. They've got offense, and now they have built out that back end. One of these years, they'll get it sorted out, but it's not going to be this year. And this was a costly one for them because Detroit looked like they weren't going to get anything out of a home game against Columbus. They score with 13 seconds left, tie it up, and then Patrick Kane wins it in overtime. And so where it looked like Detroit might get nothing and the Sabres would have a chance to creep closer, in the end, Detroit gets 2 points and the Buffalo Sabres get nothing. And I know we do a stat that stands out. It'll pertain to the Canucks here, but I thought this was interesting. This was the 11th set of back-to-backs for the Sabres. They have yet to sweep any of them, and they certainly had the opportunity coming off the win in Seattle, but it does show you how difficult that is at the NHL level to come off a good win and try and back it up with another one. So for the Canucks, I think any win's a good win right now, especially after consecutive losses at home. But there are still some areas to tidy up and things for Rick Tocchet and his coaching staff to work on. But I think at the end of the night, did what they had to do to grind out a victory here, never trailed in this hockey game. And the 2-0 goal was huge because at 1-0, you're a shot away, right? A bounce away. But 2-0 gave them the breathing room that they needed ultimately to get the job done. And it's crazy that it takes us this long to even get to Quinn Hughes. Another night for him, 2 assists. So he adds to his career best season already, broke his own record the other night. You know, didn't play a ton. They didn't need him to play a ton, 23 minutes and 1 second. But another night, Irv, where he absolutely tilts the ice in the Vancouver Canucks' favor. Shot attempts were 27-6 at even strength. With Quinn Hughes out there on the ice, the actual shots were 12-2. So, you know, another one of those nights where he doesn't have to defend because he's spending his entire night up ice in the offensive zone.
And the one time where he kind of did have to defend a little bit, not the one, is when he absolutely, well, Victor Olsen tried to go across the ice and Quinn Hughes, out of all people, absolutely took him out. And I think that made the crowd at Rogers Arena absolutely go berserk. But you don't see that from him often, but being able to, you know, hold his ground and stand his ground against a guy that's coming across the ice there.
It was a hilarious moment because the hit drew a great reaction. And then Hughes makes his way to the bench and the Jumbotron caught him, first of all, looking up because I think he wanted to see a replay of it. But then he had this smile on his face. And I think he recognized that, you know, that's out of his comfort zone. It's not who he is generally, but hey, it's the NHL. You catch a guy coming across the middle. I don't care if you're an undersized defenseman. If you have the opportunity to take the body, you do it. And then they showed the replay of Hughes looking up and laughing, and that drew a reaction as well. So kind of a fun moment at Rogers Arena on a night that, you know, there weren't a ton of moments, but at the end of the night, Elias Pettersson with his 3 points, and the Canucks are able to skate away with a 3-2 victory, and they'll get ready for the Montreal Canadiens and then the Calgary Flames in this middle section of the 9-game homestand. After that, it's Los Angeles, it's Dallas, and Anaheim is in for a Sunday afternoon game at the end of the month. Lots still ahead here. We're just getting started on Rinkwide Vancouver. We've broken down this game, but you're going to hear from the head coach and select players as well. We'll get to our Rinkwide Vancouver 3-star selection. We'll have the stat that stands out, some listener feedback as well. Curious to hear what you have to say as the Canucks work their way closer. You know, another game, you scratch it off the calendar. 13 remaining now. You can almost feel the playoffs, the return of playoff hockey. The Canucks officially have yet to clinch their playoff spot. And just about everybody that had a playoff position in the Western Conference, in fact, I think maybe it was everybody that played above the playoff bar tonight. Minnesota was a winner. I guess Minnesota was below the playoff bar, but Nashville was a winner. The St. Louis Blues are in the chase pack. So nobody wants to give an inch, and that's the kind of night it was. So the Canucks are going to have to wait a little bit longer, but they're getting close. Magic number is under 5 to get it done. Any combination of Canuck wins and outright losses by teams like St. Louis and Minnesota and the Vancouver Canucks will get that X beside their name for the first time in a handful of years. 3-2, they defeat the Buffalo Sabres. They sweep the season series, both low-scoring games, 1-0 in Buffalo back in that snowstorm in the middle of January. Weather a little better here on the west coast of Canada for this one. A beautiful day, and it turns out to a pretty good night as well. 3-2, the Canucks down the Sabres. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Vancouver Canucks down the Buffalo Sabres by a score of 3-2. Jeff and Irv here with you as we break it all down on Rinkwide Vancouver. We had our say in that opening segment. Want to hear from both Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes. No coach tonight. This is player-driven, those two all over the stat sheet. So we thought we would hear from them. And certainly for Elias Pettersson, look, we've said it. He needed this. I think the market needed to see it from him. So it was nice to see Elias Pettersson rise to the occasion. He was asked after the game about his own performance, but that of his new-look line as well.
Yeah, I was honestly happy with my performance today and definitely our line. Garland makes a lot of good plays. Hark's keeping the way he is. It was a good first game with Harlan.
So, Petey, giving credit to both Connor Garland and Nils Höglander, and I would think that, don't mess with the success. Come back and give those guys another opportunity on Thursday against the Montreal Canadiens. So I would say that that line, you'd call this night a success.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, Elias Pettersson likes playing with Connor Garland. And I think that they've had success in the past before. And everyone knows how a lot of the teammates on the Vancouver Canucks organization feel about playing with Nils Höglander. And, he's a pit bull out there. And it is exactly what it is. He plays hard every single game, every single shift. So no surprise there that Elias Pettersson enjoyed his line mates after a win.
He also liked what he saw from the power play. And we said it went 1-for-4, so 25% when you've been scuffling along at 15 for far too long now. 25% is an upgrade. It wasn't perfect by any stretch, but there were moments throughout the night where you thought, like, I recognize that power play. And mentioned JT over on the left half wall, Quinn Hughes dancing out of the blue line. Elias Pettersson scores the power play goal, his 12th power play goal of the season, made it 2-0. Here's EP40 after the game on what he saw from the power play against the Sabres.
Step in the right direction, I think. I think we had looks to score on every chance we got tonight. So that's a good thing. And keep building on it.
Yeah, definitely some steps in the right direction for that Vancouver power play. Beyond the 1-for-4, it was 10 shots on goal. And I think you have to, that's to me sort of the takeaway. If they can generate that many shots and looks with the talent that they run out there. It was interesting too, primarily power play one. Like almost every opportunity, Rick Tocchet just said, like, you guys sort it out. And they were going. So why get away from them? There weren't a lot of natural stoppages. Like, I think the first power play, I'm not sure that the Sabres cleared the zone. Because I had somebody in my mention saying, like, and none of that stupid drop pass. I was like, yeah, because the puck never left the zone. They won the faceoff, and they just pounded away for 2 full minutes there. So that is one way to eliminate the drop pass in the neutral zone, is if you never have to go back and regroup.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing, is if you don't have to get out of the zone and you end up doing things the right way. And then that's kind of what they did. They mentioned having guys on opposite sides. Obviously, Pettersson, where he can shoot his one-timers, and JT Miller just creating so much space on the left side. And that was, I think that's what fans have been clamoring for yeah, so long. Just put these guys in their proper positions to succeed. And you obviously see it was cooking tonight. He only got the one goal, but, it did look good.
Yeah, so the power play draws a reaction from the fans, and so, of course, did the hit by Quinn Hughes late in that first period on Olofsson. And, of course, that was one of the questions put to the captain after the hockey game. His thoughts on lowering the boom on the Buffalo forward, but also the reaction of the home fans.
Yeah, it's just it's funny. You don't see that much from me, but, it's a good feeling.
What kind of stuff do I get to do?
Yeah. It was almost like I scored a goal or something, so that was funny. But it's nice, being at home, and we're obviously first or second or third in the league, whatever we are, and the fans are into it, and it's enjoyable.
And we mentioned the smile in real time in the building when he got back to the bench. You can almost see and feel it there as well, reliving the moment, having some fun with it. He knows that that's not his game, but he couldn't pass up that opportunity, nor should he. I'm sure the coaches were like, hey, I don't care who you are or what role you play on this team. If you've got a chance to absolutely drive another guy like that, you got to take it. So I'm not expecting that Quinn Hughes has turned a page and that we're going to see him out there looking for big hits all the time. But when one presents itself, why not get in on the fun?
Was he watching Victor Cronwell highlights before the game, or his buddy Jacob Trouba, or what? But yeah, if you can lay the hit, and I think a lot of times, Jeff, like, it does change momentum of games. And I know that they were playing well in the game and things like that, but the crowd gets into it even more. Your bench gets into it, especially for a guy that doesn't do it a lot or often or at all. it does change the momentum. And I'm not saying he's going to do this all the time, but if you can lay the boom every once in a while and be able to do it, it definitely changes things.
You know what, though? Like, this close to playoff time, and again, I'm not, he's not going to go hunting for big hits, but like, I would think for his own confidence that in a playoff game, like, imagine the reaction in the building, a home building, if he throws that hit at playoff time. Like, people were into it and eating it up, it would be through the roof. So we'll see what happens, but he knows that he's going to take the heat in the playoffs. He's going to be a target. Why wouldn't he be? I mean, he is that dynamic and means so much to the Vancouver Canucks, but on occasion, if you can give back, hey, take your opportunities. And Quinn Hughes certainly did that. All right, let's roll right into the Rink-Wide Vancouver three stars. We've been talking about Patterson and Hughes. Shocker that they were among the stars in the building, EP40. The first star was selected by Sportsnet, Rasmus Dahlin. The second star leads the Sabres in scoring, adds to his total. Both of their goals in this hockey game up to 17 on the season, so pretty good chance that he'll reach the 20-goal mark. Obviously, the first overall pick of a few years back, and you can see why. Just so good in so many areas of the ice, but the Sabres needed more. They didn't get more on this night, so let's focus on the Canucks stars instead. I'll go with those three stars. I think all three of those left their fingerprints on this hockey game. We've talked throughout Elias Pettersson. Just nice to see him as the first star, rightly so, deserving, and we'll see what this does for him moving forward. Rasmus Dahlin, the second star, and yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to call a two-assist night when you play up over 23 minutes, a quiet night for Quinn Hughes, but his loudest noise came on that big hit. A little value added, if you will. I don't know if he would have been a star necessarily because JT had a couple of assists as well, but I think the hit puts Quinn over the top on this night. So there you go, Elias Pettersson, Rasmus Dahlin, Quinn Hughes, the three stars both at the building and here on Rink-Wide Vancouver as well.
Yeah, no problem with that. Elias Pettersson just being involved. I think that that's obviously the biggest takeaway for a lot of people in this hockey game or for this hockey game. You look at it and, you know, he heard the noise, right? And, and I think that, you know, he obviously is very self-aware. He knows some of the things that he's doing well when he's doing them. And he knows some of the things that, you know, he's not doing so well when he's not doing them. And this is one of the games where he wanted to be involved. He wanted to be confident with the puck. And I also do think that, you know, with changing the power play and the dynamic of it helped in his game as well. Just to get him some looks and things like that. Rasmus Dahlin is just a stud in the NHL. An unbelievable talent. And Quinn Hughes obviously just doing Quinn Hughes things night in, night out.
Rasmus Dahlin, by the way, on the second of back-to-backs, 26 minutes, and 2 seconds of ice time, had 4 shots on 9 attempts, and puck is on his stick. He also had 4 block shots. I mean, he really, he's just developed into an all-around incredible player, and that good young defense there, it's going to be fun to see how they utilize them and how they grow as a group. Owen Power played 24 and a half minutes. Bowen Byram up over 24 as well. So coaching staff in Buffalo has options. As for the Canucks, and you mentioned, you know, JT Miller had 6 shots on goal. I know the Canucks only got 3, including an empty netter, but the guys that you want shooting the puck were the ones that were shooting the puck in this hockey game. JT Miller had 6 shots on goal. Pia Suter with 5, but, you know, Elias Pettersson had 4 shots on goal. Connor Garland had 4 shots on goal. So the guys elevated in the lineup responded, I think, to sort of the messaging from the coaching staff here and the switches that they made. Bottom line is the Canucks get a win, and I would expect if everybody came out of this game healthy and no reason to think otherwise, that you'll see. I mean, they may go back to Phil DiGiuseppe for Nils Amon. At some point here, I do wonder about the idea of load management. Rick Tocchet's been asked about it. He's talked about it, but I also think they want to get this group of 6 defensemen on a little bit of a run and in a groove here. So with days between games, it's not quite as imperative to load manage. But I do wonder by the end of the homestand if we do see Noah Juulsen get back in there for a night or two in place of a guy like Ian Cole.
No, absolutely. And I think you have to almost. I mean, you know, you're blessed in a little bit. I know you want him to get healthy, but Thatcher Demko not being available right now is probably one of the better things for this organization because, you know, come playoff time, he's going to be healthy. Now you want your defenseman to be that as well. I mean, Tyler Myers is not young defenseman like he used to be anymore, nor is Ian Cole, right? And, you know, if you can give them some nights off, you know, I'm assuming there's going to be some practices here down the stretch or off days where those guys won't skate, maybe off ice. I mean, we're going to see more off ice workouts now. It's what I think. And, you know, I know we have been so far, but I think that's what we're going to start to see with just 13 games left, Jeff.
Canucks beat the Buffalo Sabres by a score of 3-2. We've still got plenty ahead here on Rinkwide. We've got our stat that stands out. We will get into some of the listener feedback at Rinkwide Van as well. And before we're done, a thought or two on the Canucks' next opponent. That's the Montreal Canadiens, Tanner Pearson, and the Habs coming back here for their one and only visit of the season. That's on Thursday. Calgary is in on Saturday. 3-2 Canucks over the Sabres. Jeff and Irf with you. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver. All right, we're going to get to some listener feedback in a moment. We'll have a stat that stands out. But I want to take a moment here to let you know about an event coming up. We've told you that the playoffs are coming. You know that by now. And to celebrate the Vancouver Canucks' return to the playoffs, playoff hockey at Rogers Arena for the first time in 9 long years. Join us and the rest of the Sakaris and Price crew, Canucks Army as well, Saturday, April 20th at the Hollywood Theater in Kitsilano. For a special tribute to our late friend Jason Botchford, it's all presented by Fountain Tire. Of course, Jason made a significant impact on all of our lives, and we want to honor his legacy in the media, and the best way we know how to do that is by celebrating the Canucks and their push to the playoffs. The event's called Bro Do Your Playoffs, and it's a media event celebrating the life and legacy of Jason that's going to feature shared memories, some special guests, an exclusive performance from the matinee, and a celebration of Vancouver's triumphant return to the playoffs. All of this is happening on April 20th at the Hollywood Theater. And proceeds from this event are going to go to support a local mental health organization. So more details, but we just want you to know about that. And we'll certainly push the details out as we've got them. Looking forward to being a part of that. And hopefully you can join us. All right, stat that stands out, Irf, ahead of some listener feedback. More than a month since a three-point night for Elias Pettersson. You got to go back to February 15th, the home game against the Detroit Red Wings. In fact, he's got 3 three-point games since the All-Star break. Two of them had come against the Red Wings, one in Motown and one at home, and found a different opponent to light up, and this was the Buffalo Sabres. So first three-point night for Elias Pettersson since February 15th, and for his sake and the hockey club's sake and the fans and the market, hopefully there are a few more here ahead of the playoffs so that he hits the ground running when the postseason arrives.
First game in a while, or that I can remember, where Elias Pettersson has kind of imposed his will on it.
Yep.
In all facets, yep, of the game, offensively, defensively, getting the crowd involved with doing the deke, and obviously getting on the score sheet, being involved there. One that I like, Jeff. Canucks are now outscoring opponents 22-11 in the game's first 5 minutes. Yeah, which is crazy because they've also been scored on 11 times in the game's first 5 minutes. So it's just another one that's kind of an interesting stat to keep an eye on as we go down here.
Yeah, lots of people want in. Lots of feedback to our feedback channels at Rinkwide Van. Keep them coming here over the course of the regular season, and of course, we'll ramp that up come playoff time as well. We'll get that instant reaction from you, Canuck fans. Travis says JT Miller on the left half wall, only way to go on the power play. Not sure why they ever went away from it. There were a couple of those. Justin says Miller on the left half wall, never change it, in all caps. So, Justin, you don't have to scream at us, but we get the point there that you like JT Miller on that left side, and so do I. And I think ultimately Rick Tocchet may have to come around on it. Run the Jewel says, honestly, played the same game as we did against the Caps, just had a power play goal go in this time. Now, only had the one power play against Washington in the third period, moved it around, but didn't score. But yeah, I mean, you can look at this and say, hey, Canucks won the special teams battle in a 3-2 hockey game. So power play hasn't been a difference maker for the Vancouver Canucks over the last 20 games or so, but it came through for them to produce some offense in this hockey game, and they win it by a single goal. Robbie says, I really feel Mikheyev's game is coming around each game. We talked about him, you know, the bar's low, but he's noticeable and for the right reasons. And so there have been a few nights like that of late. There's enough time here, I think, left in the season for him to get some traction, but I'm still not sold on this idea of Lindholm with Mikheyev and Lafferty. Like, it's tough for Lindholm to try to find his game. I asked him about it after the morning skate, and I said, like, here you are. You're trying to find your offensive game, and you keep getting put with different line mates. Like, how difficult is that? And he just kind of chuckled, and there was a big pause, and I thought, all right, I mean, that pretty much tells me all. Like, yeah. He was trying to collect his thoughts and make sure that he said the right thing, but, you know, it has to be difficult for him. That, you know, everybody wants him to be this offensive producer that he was when he was playing with Johnny Hockey and Matthew Tkachuk. I mean, that was a career year for him.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's necessarily who he is as a player. But I do think that there's more offense to give. I just don't know with those wingers if those are the guys that are going to bring the offense out of him.
I think it's the most difficult when you go to the rink every day. And I'm not saying it's every day it's different, but when you go to the rink every day and you don't really know whose name's going to be on the whiteboard beside you. Yep. If you're him, right? Especially coming to a new city, being on a new team. I know the trade was made in late January and he's been here for a while, but he hasn't really been here for a while, if you think about it. So this is the time now. But and guys have been hurt and, you know, everyone's kind of hovering around the Canucks being like, okay, well, what's going to happen when Dakota Joshua comes back? What's the situation there? Where are they going to put Lindholm? And I'm sure he's hearing that as well, but they got to find a spot. And I agree with you, Jeff. I'm not sure the Mikheyev-Lafferty is it there? You know, is Joshua, is he going to center Joshua line with Garland as well? Like, I'm not entirely sure what the plan is when eventually he does come back, but interesting one. Cause Elias Lindholm is going to be the talk of the town on this team for quite some time until he kind of figures out his game as well, because admittedly, I think he needs to do a little bit more as well.
There was so much special teams that this really wasn't a four line game. Like the Canucks fourth line barely played. Nils Amon at 7:35 of ice time. Bud Colson at 6.5 minutes, 6:30 on the nose. Had a shot on goal and 3 hits. His shot came early. It was from long distance on the right side in the first period, but it did result at the very least in a faceoff, an offensive zone faceoff. But yeah, not a whole lot there. Bluger's ice time was up because he kills penalties and we saw him promoted for a little bit, but the winger's on that fourth line. So sort of an incomplete grade as we continue to look for things from Vasily Podkolzin. And this was just a night where that fourth line and Phil DiGiuseppe didn't play. I can't imagine that Nils Amon did enough to, you know, he's going to be a guy that's coming out of the lineup most nights. And I would think when the playoffs begin that Nils Amon, especially if Joshua's back, then you're going to have some options if you're Rick Tocchet and the coaching staff. But yeah, this wasn't a huge night for the fourth line. There were guys higher in the lineup that got the job done. Just a little bit more feedback here from listeners. Gila says they were faster, more crisp, great possession. This is a team that we come to expect. Let's keep it going into the playoffs. That's all fair and good, but these are the Sabres, and they're not going to the playoffs. And so, you know, they did well to get the lead. They built on it. Like, you like that. 2-0 going to the third period, but it would have been nice to just sort of see it through all the way a little tidier than in that third period, but at the end of the night, a win is a win. Big Sven says, Quinn Hughes is such a beast. We threw out some of those numbers for him earlier, and Jack says, all lines engaged, much needed. Now they're going to have to build on it. So, yeah, I mean, let's leave it there. I think we both agree with Jack that there was a lot of good in this game for the Vancouver Canucks, but better opponents, perhaps you leave the door open for them just a little bit. Now, Montreal Canadiens pushed the Edmonton Oilers to overtime. It was 2-0 Edmonton going to the third, and the Oilers probably felt it was going to be pretty easy, so give Montreal some credit. Looking forward to seeing Nick Suzuki, the way that he's playing, Cole Caulfield, Juraj Slafkovský. You know, we just don't see the Habs out here, and even though they're not going to be a playoff team, you know that there are diehard Habs fans, dyed in the wool. Red, white, and blue. So it's always fun, even if it's a midweek game, whatever the case, there'll be some jump in the building, and we'll see if the Habs are able to push back Tanner Pearson, a healthy scratch in Edmonton, which is interesting, but I would think a veteran guy like that will get the opportunity to play. Not sure that he'll be a factor, but we'll see. I don't want to write him off entirely. Some pent-up frustration probably from the way it ended for him here in Vancouver. Whatever the case, just based on where these two teams are in the standings, this is another opportunity for the Canucks on Thursday night.
Well, I think that that's the way that they have to look at it. You have to go in and look at your opponent and know that as a team, you probably are better than them on any given night and go and take care of business. And I think that that's the mindset that this team needs to have, especially over the next couple of games here. You know, you have the Flames coming in, you know, after the Montreal Canadiens, and then it gets interesting with the LA Kings and then the Dallas Stars coming into town next week. So if you're the Canucks, you know, you enjoy this win, but I think the biggest takeaway that maybe, Jeff, I don't know if you agree with me, is that Elias Pettersson was very much so back and involved. You know, all three goals, you know, was able to get to, but he was a guy that, you know, he looked like, you know, Elias Pettersson of old. It's funny how we have to say vintage Elias Pettersson performance and the guy's still so young, but he had one of those.
Yeah, and hopefully there are a few more here before this season is through. Just, and look, they won, so yeah. I don't want to go deep here, but Will Teddy Bluger ever score again?
He couldn't hit an empty net.
He had two cracks at the empty net. That goal, the Canucks' only goal against the Philadelphia Flyers back on the 28th of December, it stands alone. And I thought that was for sure going to be the end of the lengthy drought. We've seen some others put an end to their spells of not being able to score here recently. But the battle goes on for Teddy Bluger. But at the end of the night, the win is the most important thing, and the Canucks get it by a score 3-2. Elias Pettersson with a pair, goals 32 and 33 on the season after Connor Garland had opened the scoring with his 14th. PD in on all four. JT Miller with a couple of assists. Quinn Hughes, two helpers as well. So when the Stars are going, the Vancouver Canucks are a formidable foe, and we'll see what they look like on Thursday night. That's when we'll be back to do our next episode of Rink Wide Factor. It's going to be back then as well. So already looking forward to that. The Canucks and the Habs on Thursday, and we'll have a full breakdown after that right here on Rinkwide Vancouver.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.